Borjovsky, Sam Nation Talk Radio, 790 KABC. Live in Los Angeles, I made it. Okay. Oh my gosh. Well, first of all, let me tell you something about the flight. If you ever want to fly back from Europe, don't do it with a kid, a three-year-old that has a broken leg and a full leg cast, because that was an adventure. Poor girl, every time she had to use the bathroom, I mean, I don't want to get into details, but I'm a dad, you know, come on, guys, you know what I'm talking about. You know, whenever my kids say, I need to go back. Yeah, that's right, mom. Anyway, so here I am. I mean, poor girl. And I mean, and every time anything bumped or touched the leg, it was just, anyway, no. So thank you for your concern. She's doing well. We've got her home. And I went straight from the airport to the studio so I could be here. I'm not in Orange County today. I'm in LA. And it's great to see all you KBC folks. Yay! I love being here. So, another funny thing I'll tell you from the plane, they're now making announcements. This is how bad the whole Samsung Galaxy 7 thing is going. We talked about it yesterday, didn't we? The guy with the phone that he gets the replacement phone and the replacement phone blows up. So yeah. So now they're announcing on the airplane, you know, when they're telling you what you can and can't do, they say if you've got a Galaxy 7, you do not turn it on or even charge it off in flight. Like, just turn it off, put it away. So that's how bad it's getting. I mean, the airlines don't even want you bringing it on board. So if you've got one of those phones, you know, they announced that they're not, what did they say? They're not producing them anymore. They're not going to manufacture them, but really they need to recall them. They got to get the phones off the street, you know, replace them with iPhones or something. I don't know. Just a friendly bit of advice. So now, 12 hours, it was a 12-hour flight. And that is how long I have been sealed off from the world. I went totally dark. I wasn't on Wi-Fi. I had no idea what was going on, and I rushed over to the studio and opened up my laptop, and here the world is coming undone again. What's all this unshackled Trump stuff? So Trump declared that he's unshackled, he's free, and everybody's hand wringing over it. And the media, the mainstream media, is having a cow, and they're trying to tell you that it's over. You know, the political races are all now. I mean, all the Republicans that are running for Congress, they're done, right? It's over, because now Trump is sinking the whole party. And so I saw a headline: Party of One. All right, or Trump has made the GOP a party of one. So let me explain this to you, because here's a scoop on it. The problem with the Republican Party, and I talked about this yesterday when we called Private Ryan, when we called Speaker Ryan a derogatory word. Well, the problem with the Republican Party is that they are just as establishment and they're just as big of political hacks as the Democrats. And really, when you get down to policy differences, I mean, yeah, they are. You back and forth. You think you're a Democrat. You think you're a Republican. You know, really, at the end of the day, the people that you send to Washington are no different from each other. They could have a big D, big R, doesn't matter. They're the same political hacks. They have the same positions on immigration. They have the same positions on the economy. They have the same position. They raise your taxes. So the idea is that right now in this election, people have had it up to here. And so if you're one of those people scratching your heads going, God, I don't understand how this buffoon, this orange man, this, you know, what did De Niro call him? I mean, everything, right? A dog? A bit much. Anyway, so how is this guy getting so much traction? Well, the reason is he's picking up everyone who's had it up to their ears with getting told a lie every election. You know, oh, we're going to go to Washington, we're going to fight for you. And then they watch them do nothing, or basically to every affirmative step that they take, sinks them. Because I'm going to ask you, are you better off than you were 8 years ago? I don't think this Obama administration's really touched the lives of a lot of people, and at least not in a good way. And so here we are, and we've got this election underway, and it's a big election. And people are wondering why Trump has traction, and they're now lamenting this, you know, that he's going after Republicans. He's going, this is it. This is why people love the guy. They love him because he calls it like it is. And he, from the beginning, by the way, this is where he's consistent. From the beginning, he's made himself to be the anti-establishment candidate. And remember, this is what he did in the primary. I mean, he trashed Republicans in the primary for being the same you-know-what that the Democrats are when they go to Washington and don't, you know, just and sell out. And so this is it. I heard Unshackled and I thought, remember when, did you see the Django Unchained? I mean, I'm telling you, if Unshackled Donald Trump is anything like Django Unchained, he might just win this election. I'm reminded of the election when it was, McCain lost. So we're going back 8 years. And the very next morning that I turned on the radio, this was before I was ever a host of a program, and I'm just as you listening to the radio, I turned it on, and all I heard for the whole morning after was conservative radio host after conservative radio host saying something along the lines of, "Oh, I'm just done that. I don't have to carry water for these clowns," meaning McCain and his sloppy effort at the campaign, and kind of, you know, the whole kind of tepid establishment candidate fighting, you know, the change progressive candidate on the left. And I listened to it and I scratched my head and I said, "Well, why would any of these guys, why would they carry water for anybody? It's up to the candidate to make a case for himself. It's up to the candidate to make a case for his cause and for his perspective and his opinion and his vision." And I can see it here, you know, Trump has laid out a vision. He's the candidate that has laid out a plan. And the media will tell you that it's not the case. And you may not like his plan. I mean, that's a perfectly acceptable, you know, perfectly acceptable position. But the man has laid out a plan. And I see him as the disruptor. I see him as the disruptor, right? As the candidate that goes in and is our best chance in my lifetime of going into Washington and shaking things up a little bit. Now, of course, he's running against the ultimate insider. So you really couldn't have two more diametrically opposed people. You know, and this is, I think, what frustrates me so much. I want to talk about it more later in the week because people are saying, "Sam, I'm just sick of this election. I'm just sick of it in general. I'm sick of it. I'm these two guy and gal going at each other, you know, lobbing one bomb after another. And I just want to, people aren't watching the NFL either. I don't know what people want to watch, but apparently they want to do something other than this campaign. Did you see the second debate? 24 million fewer voters. People are sick of it. I don't blame them. And they also, I think some of it is that there's so much anger on both sides that people don't even want to get into it with, you know, if you're at work, right? And maybe you're a Trump supporter, right? You're not telling people, you don't want to be that guy. So I think there's a bit of that going on, but I just want to, it's so funny because you take a little bit of time like I did here. I went to Europe. We did the show over there. I'm talking to people there and I'm realizing that Trump, by the way, in Europe is a total caricature. He's made out to be this total buffoon because all they're doing is picking up the highlights from the media here. And I keep explaining to people, I said, "Look, you got to understand, he's got 48% or 45% or whatever the day is. He's got a lot of Americans behind him. And those people aren't all stupid. So there's a reason for that. And the reason is simple, because many of us are just so tired of business as usual in Washington. People go to Washington. What do these politicians do? What does Paul Ryan do? Okay, he goes to Washington. He gets elected in a tiny little district, right? There's like 5.5 people and 3 squirrels in this district. And he gets elected there. Okay. And then he goes to Washington. Brown noses his way up to becoming this, you know, the guy that's leading the entire party in the entire House of Representatives, which is the place where the entire legislative agenda of our country originates from. All he does is live in the government bubble. And you know what? We're not a government bubble country. We're not. In fact, we're a country of doers. We're a country of entrepreneurs. We're a country of hard workers. We're a country of fathers and mothers, and we have kids, and we're go, go, go. And this is where the fundamental opinion of mine, I don't think that our founders intended for us to have a political class. I think, and this is why I always lean and gravitate toward the politician that has done something in their life and then goes and starts a political career as a second act or a third act. I like second act politicians, people who have done something, achieved something in their real life, you know, had a career, and then gone into public service later. Because those are the kind of people I want writing laws. Those are the kind of people that I want, you know, I want legislating things that affect me, because I don't want a person making decisions about my business and about my taxes and about our health care that are just policy wonks like Paul Ryan. That we're told they're the smartest people in the room. You know what? If they're so damn smart, then why don't they go and make it in the real world? There's a reason for it. These people can't even tie their own shoelaces. The only place that they can be and exist is in the little Washington bubble where they sit around, get cozy with each other, scratch each other's backs, go to parties in Georgetown, and talk about how great they are. And the reason they all hate Trump is they realize that Trump in Washington will turn things upside down. He threatens their very existence. He threatens their order, their way of life, their hierarchies, everything. And I like that. And you know what? A lot of other people like it too, which is why he has support. Now, where does that go? Where does that take us from here? I don't count the Donald out. Everybody that's done it, by the way, has ended up with egg on their face. I was talking earlier, a few minutes ago, about these, they call these the down ticket races, right? You got the big vote for president, and underneath it, you've got senators and congressmen and so forth, and dog catchers or whatever it is. And the Republicans are lamenting that Trump is just going to sink the whole party. You know, first of all, there are people that will be voting Republican this presidential race that have never voted before and that have never voted Republican before. And I tell you, here is a clear way. I'm going to just, if you are one of those down ticket Republicans and you're wondering what you do I do I go for Trump? Do I not? Oh my God, distance myself. Oh my God. Did you hear what he said? Here's what you do. If you abandon him, you will lose. Plain and simple. Because the people that are going to be voting Republican this cycle, the Republican voters, they're not interested in you if you're going to turn your back on the anti-establishment candidate, because there are more anti-establishment voters this election cycle than there ever have been. And it's going to be very interesting. So mark my words, we'll play the tape back. I may have to eat them, but I think there are a lot of voters out there that are unaccounted for in all these polls and everything that they're doing. I think there are a lot of unaccounted voters because there are people that just simply have never voted before. They're angry. They're motivated. They're fired up. And you know, the people, it's the Paul Ryans that should be worried. It's these mealy mouthed, just Republicans in name only, right? The rhinos is what they always call them. So, well, I'm telling you, and not only that, Unshackled Trump is going after Hillary and is going after Hillary. And this is not just tit for tat. The criticisms of Hillary and how they handled Bill's sex abuse brings up some very interesting points. Reminds me of Anita Hill. You guys remember that name? When I come back, I want to talk about Anita Hill. It's a very interesting thing. All right. Back after this, Sam Rogowski, Sam Nation Talk Radio, 790 KBC.
This is Sweet James Bergener. I listen to Sam Nation.
And that's why, as Margaret Thatcher said, socialism fails when you run out of other people's money.
Talk Radio, 790
KABC.
And we're back. Sam Rogowski, Sam Nation, Talk Radio, 790 KBC. And I am back in L.A. after a whirlwind tour of the Czech Republic. And glad to be back. Always, always, always nice. So we're talking about, well, I wanted to illustrate a little bit of media bias here. So I'm kind of shifting gears here about... Do we remember Anita Hill? I'll refresh your memory. Anita Hill was the star witness in one Clarence Thomas's confirmation hearings, was she not? And you'll remember it was the first President Bush that nominated Clarence Thomas to be on the Supreme Court. And normally these confirmation hearings are pretty smooth, but in this case, a woman surfaced. Anita Hill, and she claimed that in a variety of ways over a long period of time, Clarence Thomas had sexually abused her. And Democrats in Congress, right, during these confirmation hearings, it was epic. In fact, it was so epic that I think President Bush then had to sign into law some special protections, a new bill that protected victims of workplace sexual harassment. I think it was just as an appeasement move because and Clarence Thomas almost didn't get on the court. Now, this whole thing became news again, and bear with me here because the story ties in exactly with what's going on in the presidential race. Did you hear about the Smithsonian? They opened up a new Black History Museum. Did you hear about this? African-American Museum section of the Smithsonian. And lo and behold, I mean, Clarence Thomas is only the second Black guy in the Supreme Court. And what, Anita Hill, there's a whole section in the museum for Anita Hill and barely a mention of Clarence Thomas. Think about how political that is. Now, I bring this up because, think of all the accusers that have come forward against Bill Clinton. And I'm not just talking about Anita Hill said Clarence Thomas came at her with some dirty talk, right? Dirty talk. I mean, Bill Clinton, this is a guy who dropped his pants and put his, you know, wee-wee in a woman's face. I mean, he did that. He raped a woman. The Lewinsky thing, I mean, sure, you know, he's the president of the United States and takes advantage of an intern. Hey, snaps his fingers and say, come in the Oval. I need to be serviced. I mean, this happened. And so now here we've got, and what was the response? Do we remember the response? Where was the outrage? Where were the feminists? Where were all these people? And by the way, it's the same people on TV. They're just like, oh, I can't. What Trump? Oh, my gosh. What Trump said? Oh, and they're just getting the vapors. They're literally passing out on TV. All right. And I'm looking at him head scratching because I'm going, where were you? Where were you with Kathleen Willey? Where were you with Paula Jones? Where were you with Lewinsky? I mean, will you compare the reaction And this doesn't just mean rank and file Democrats. I'm talking about the media. This is why you listen to the program, because I'm going to give it to you straight, and what Trump said was stupid and it's crude, but I talk to real women. Okay, I don't know what women you're talking to, but the women I talk to and I know are like kind of over it. I mean, they heard what he said. They go, look, they got brothers. They've played sports. You know, a lot. And you know what? It's not about defending Trump's comments. It really is a question of the double standard of scrutiny. There's this just the amount of scrutiny that Trump's comments received is far less than the level of scrutiny that Bill Clinton's actions received. And that is unacceptable. And before you tell me, well, Bill Clinton is running for president, you're damn right he's not running for president. He ran for president one twice. So how do these comments disqualify Trump? Please, please tell me. I'm blown away. And to be clear, it's all about this double standard of scrutiny. And I don't know what to do with it. I do. So when we come back, rating women. Let's rate some women. Let's do it Bill Clinton style. I got some good stories for you. All right. Yeah, Missy, you're. I don't know. Well, I'll tell you what number I'd give Missy when we come back. Sam Rogowski, Sam Nation Talk Radio, 790 KBC.
And now, ladies and gentlemen, here's Johnny.
Now, as an added spot tonight, I just wanted to let you guys know that we are subjugating our entire show to Sam Nation because apparently he's right and the rest of everyone is wrong.
Talk Radio. 790 KABC.
All right, Sam Rogowski, Sam Nation Talk Radio, 790 KABC. You know, we always fight against inanity here, just stupid political correctness. And I give you an example. You know, in this world of corporations, you know, where not just corporations, but then all these little groups, all these little, you know, agitator groups that are always. I got the bullhorns in front of the corporate building. So the latest funny news story, did you hear this about Ronald McDonald? He's gone into hiding. That's right. Good old Ronald McDonald is literally hiding out because of this whole creepy clown thing. And I guess McDonald's corporation, right? They are afraid. They don't want to offend anybody. You know, they want to be sensitive during this time because they've got these creepy clowns on the loose. Have you heard about this? This is so stupid. He's a clown that makes kids happy. Unless they've got a clown phobia, in which case there's no helping them. All right. Speaking of creepy clowns, I'm pretty sure, you know, when Hillary was intimidating some of these Bill Clinton sex abuse victims, she probably sent around a creepy clown or two. Krusty, you know. Although I don't think, you know, those were some tough broads. Did you see the second presidential debate? And, you know, Trump brought all the accusers there. They're sitting in the front row. And the Drudge Report had my favorite headline in the history of the internet. And the headline was face. Did you see it the other day? I didn't talk about it yesterday on air, but it was face crack of the century. And it showed on one. It was a split photo. It showed on one side all of Clinton's babes there, you know, his former flames, victims, right? And on the left was a picture of Bill Clinton, and the look on his face, he's giving him the side side eyeball thing. Anyway, so Bill, you know, he remember Paula Jones was there, and she ended up filing a lawsuit, and it followed Bill Clinton all the way to the presidency. It came out during his election, didn't disqualify him. He got elected. Okay, it's kind of embarrassing because he's a sitting president and he has to be deposed. Remember? And this is where he gives that inane answer. Well, it depends on what the definition of is. But a bunch of other people were deposed. And a deposition is simply a question and answer under oath. So it's just like if you're in court, you have to tell the truth. And if you don't, you go to jail. Unless you're Hillary Clinton. Well, in this deposition, in this lawsuit, one of Bill Clinton's former bodyguards, an Arkansas state trooper, by the name of, what was his name? Brown, right? J.D. Brown? Well, anyway, he ends up talking about Bill, and let's see, what does he say? Quote, grading, as degrading as it may sound, is something that Bill Clinton and I both would do. Yeah, so they would rate women's attractiveness on a scale of 1 through 10. So he'd be driving Clinton around. You know, he was his close bodyguard. He was the Arkansas state trooper that was assigned to Bill Clinton. And they'd be like, and Bill would be like, oh, yeah, she's nine. Yeah, she's nine. And they would argue about it because they are men. Okay, ladies, this is what men do. Heterosexual men are attracted to women, and they're more attracted to some and less for others, right? And it depends on the guy, but men do this. And so surprise, surprise, Bill Clinton did it and it came out. And where was the outrage? Where was the Anita Hill, you know, agitating press corps? Nowhere. Where were the victim rights advocates? Nowhere. Just radio silent. So this guy, you know, and he lays it bare in his testimony. Yeah, and one other thing that this Brown guy, L.D. Brown was his name. He worked for Bill Clinton in the mid-90s. I mean, he talks about Bill Clinton's active pursuit of women. And he says he was basically, Bill Clinton was out, he viewed it as a personal conquest to get these women, and he knew a number of his personal relationships. And one woman that he had a relationship with ended up even getting, he appointed her to the Arkansas Court of Appeals. Yikes. All right, we come back. I promised some ratings. Yeah, maybe we'll get to that. I promise. I have some ideas. All right, Sam Rogowski, Sam Nation Talk Radio, 790 KBC. The shaking throw is Cadillac.
This is Sweet James Bergener. I listen to Sam Nation.
I don't know. Do I? When I go to Mexico, I don't drink the water. Or if I do, I mix it with tequila. That's a proven technique to solve any problem.
Talk radio
77790 KABC.
We're back. Sam Rogowski, Sam Nation Talk Radio, 790 KABC. And, look, one other thing that I think is funny, you know, when I'm bringing up Bill Clinton, okay, there's two lines in all of his past sexual shenanigans. I want to illustrate two points, which is one, there's a double standard. The media has a double standard when it comes to scrutinizing candidates. Okay? There's candidates that they like, the ones that are on the left, that are establishment, that don't threaten anything, that are going to keep peace and world order for them. And then a separate standard for the ones that they don't like. Usually ones on the right. And I'm just trying to explain to you too that there is a big difference between, you know, there's this, everybody's saying, well, the Hillary keeps saying Trump is disqualified. He's unfit to be president. but her own husband, right? Like a guy she knows intimately. And trust me, Hillary knows exactly what Clinton's been up to, okay? But somehow he was fit to be president twice, right? Get reelected in spite of everything. Got to keep his job, didn't even get impeached, right? So it's interesting. Now, another thing to remember too, going back to Anita Hill a little bit, and race, you know, one of the things I remember reading repeatedly about Clinton is that he was a racist guy in private. He said some horrible things. He used the N-word repeatedly. This is known about him. And yet, who was it? Toni Morrison called him America's first black president. You remember that? What kind of load of hogwash that was. And this takes me to what Hillary, you know, this whole, have you heard about the whole Hillary thing? The private versus public persona? You know, that she's, well, WikiLeaks just is dropping bombs left and right on her. And deservedly so. And one of the things that came out is she says, we got to have this private position, public position. And in the debate, she blamed it on poor Abraham Lincoln. Nothing to do with anything, but she blames it on Abraham Lincoln. And so what, we know what happens in all of this. So the idea here is that this, and the Clintons have done this, and this is what politicians do, right? They say one thing, and privately, you know, publicly to you and I, they say something, and then they go home and they say something completely different. And I think people know, we know this, right? This is why, who is it? Charles Krauthammer said, oh, big deal. Everybody knows she has public and private positions. You know what? No, it is a big deal because this is the election, right? This is what I've been saying this whole hour. This is the election where people have had it up to their ears with being told one thing during the election. And then turns out the politician does something completely different because their inner convictions, what they really think and what they really believe, is fundamentally different from what they say. Trump, I think, is a what you see is what you get guy. And it sometimes isn't pretty. Sometimes kind of awful. But to his supporters, I always try to explain to you why he has the following, why he has the loyalty that he has. And it's because to his supporters, he is an unvarnished truth seeker. Well, truth sayer, right? They know that when he says something, it's coming from a place of conviction. And that's why all this ridiculous fact checking, you've heard all this fact checking stuff. I mean, these fact checking websites are so in the tank for Hillary. I mean, I could spend a whole show just getting into it, but it's too inside baseball. But they're so one-sided, totally in the tank for Hillary. They're biased, Trump keeps getting all these Pinocchios and Hillary. It's absurd. His supporters know that when he tells them something and when he says something, it's him. He's being a real guy. He's being honest with them, and they like that, and they like that. So I think when it comes to the hot mic convo, I keep coming back to it. I have to analyze: is it going to really hurt him? And my initial reaction is that yes, but not with his core supporters. And those are the people that are going to show up and vote. And I hope that Hillary has enough core support that will show up and vote for her. Because people might be placated by all this, right? Voters might go, hey, you know what? That looks like Trump really, nobody's going to vote for him, so I'm not going to show up. And that could be a very bad thing for Hillary, right? All right, back after this. Sam Rzhovsky, Sam Nation, Talk Radio 790 KBC.
In this present crisis, government is the solution to our problem. Government is the problem. And Sam Nation is the solution. Of course, you need jelly beans for that.
Talk Radio.
790 KABC.
Sam Rojofsky here. Yeah, so you've heard about my... I just got back from my trip, and I left with a perfectly healthy girl. And I went with my daughter, 3.5 years old. Came back with a perfectly healthy girl with one broken leg. And I'm just a little bit worried that she might call Sweet James. I mean, no, I... Well, I mean, look, she suffered a, it was a slip and fall. And I'd left a little water on the bathroom floor. It's actually, I feel it was my fault, but so I don't want to give her any ideas, but this is what you have to do if you're hurt. You gotta get an opinion on whether or not you've got a case, first of all. And if you do, okay. If you do that, make sure it's with someone that you trust. Okay. And you don't want to just go to anybody and don't go with somebody that you trust. And you know, in fact, there's somebody we trust, and it's attorney James Bergner. His friends call him Sweet James, and there's a reason. He's trustworthy. He is aggressive, and he is a great guy. So look, if you've got a slip and fall, dog bite, auto accident, anything of that type, personal injury case, give Sweet James a call, 1-800-881-2021, 1-800-881-2021, or visit sweetjames.com. All right, Sam Rojofsky, Sam Nation, Talk Radio 790 KBC here. And, you know, one of the things when we talk about this public persona nonsense, we've got to, you know, people want honesty. I mean, and I think that's what it ultimately comes down to. And yeah, that's where this whole race ultimately is gonna end up. I wanted to come back to this idea of what Trump said in his comments, because now, I've addressed it a little bit. We've got a lot of women here in the studio, and they're all here, and we talk about this stuff, and I think that there's actually a much bigger public outcry of it out of obligation, that people feel somehow obligated to publicly disavow the comments. Oh, that was terrible. And privately, a lot of people, men and women, are going, you know what? I've said stuff like that, or I've said stuff close to it, or I've thought stuff like that. And so, in effect, we as individuals are doing the same thing that these politicians are doing. And so we end up living, all of us, in this whole kind of pretend world, because no one says what they really think. No politician says what they're really going to do. And so we all are living this giant big lie, aren't we? And I think at some point, somewhere, if it isn't with Trump, it's going to be with somebody else. Enough is enough. Like, you can't just live a lie, right? I mean, I don't know. It's food for thought. And I can tell you this, when it comes to this program, you're always going to get it straight. Okay. I'm always going to tell it to you how it is. And whether you like it or not. Okay. And so, speaking of ratings, I'm not going to rate Missy. I can't, you know, Missy's going to get married here. I can't, she's hiding right now. But should I rate Robbie from from one to, you know, from zero to hipster? It's going to be like a 300 something. That beard, it's growing back. I love it. All right. We'll be back day after tomorrow. Kings tomorrow. Go Kings, go! Sam Rojofsky, Sam Nation, Talk Radio, 790 KBC.
News. Talk. Evolve. 790 KABC.